Just.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, that honestly, that felt like a trap. Like I was, oh, that's pretty good. No, wait, no, no, not doing that. What the f?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
This is technically either the last What the Fuck of 2014 or the first, depending on when you're hearing this. So, welcome to What the Fuck. I am Josh Hadley. With me back this week is the Cat.
Wait, the first of 2014?
This, well,
What?
no, it'll be the first episode of 2015 or the last episode of 2014, depending on when they listen to it.
Yeah, but you didn't say 2015.
Quiet you.
I'm just liking to point out, like, maybe you're talking to all the time travelers out there. I don't know. I just wanted to clarify.
All right, don't talk to Kat again tonight. Got it. What about you, Charlie? Are you here?
Asshole.
I'll be good.
See, Charlie knows his place, Kat.
I'm sorry. Let me go take my shoes off and get in the kitchen.
Only when spoken to.
Yes. Do you know what you have to do? You have to go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code WHAT to get 10 free gifts. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. That's what you have to do, is go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code WHAT. Speaking of that, let's just get into.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
If people had gone to adamandeve.com, they wouldn't have had the annual rundown of all the things we've gotten stuck in our butts this year, would they?
I don't think they would, and it's a shame because they offer a unique perspective on that.
Okay, I know things can get a little adventurous, but toothbrush holder, pipe, keys, an acorn, a shot glass, a drumstick, an ice pick, an unsharpened pencil. I like the fact that they specify unsharpened.
I mean, what kind of idiot would put a sharpened pencil in there, but.
I know.
Well, it is called a number two.
Ooh, oh, that was great.
Line of the night out of the way right off the bat, huh?
Ha
We got a candle, an air freshener, a can of spray paint, a shaving cream can, a shampoo bottle, a lotion bottle, a soda can, a turkey baster, a phone cord. All right, I guess they took anal beads to a weird place. A golf ball, metal toilet paper holder, tent stakes, a rolled up stack of plastic trash bags. Okay,
Tent stakes!
I'm more
Oh
shocked at the
my
rolled up stack of plastic trash bags, really.
Tent stake? No, I'm thinking about the many, many times I've been camping, and tent stakes are sharp. Like, they have to be able to pierce the ground, not your anus.
They're not always metal, though.
No, but even the
God,
plastic ones.
you guys are such pessimists, man.
Well,
Even the plastic ones are still capable of rupturing something.
I'm well,
yeah.
okay, Kat, you brought up camping. A log. Somebody got a log stuck up their butt this year.
Well, I mean, maybe somebody just really wanted some wood.
That's the wrong
It's
kind of
better than
wood.
bad. It's good.
Now,
Glad you kind of knew what was already going on in my head, Charlie.
I want to specify these next two, they actually have addendums to them and quotes from the ER doctors. Had anal sex and has bruising, blood on toilet paper, took crystal meth to help pain. That's one
So,
way to do it, I guess.
did they take crystal meth in their butt?
It doesn't specify. This next one, though, beer bottle up rectum and bottle broke when tried to retrieve bottle with pliers, cocaine use prior to insertion.
I think that could be implied for all of these. I mean, it's be I guess that's better than cocaine use post insertion.
Okay, stuck in the penis. Plastic spoon and perhaps a pencil. I like the fact
Perhaps a
that they
pencil.
don't know.
What that means to me is that there is a doctor who saw the plastic spoon and immediately looked away and left the room and said there might have been a pencil too.
I don't know, man. I had to get out of there.
I'm not going back.
Inserted a long balloon into penis to have girlfriend blow up for sexual stimulation and it broke.
That's actually not a bad idea. I'll say it.
It clearly didn't work.
No, I mean it's nothing like that works the first time. I mean,
Well,
you
but
got
okay, you know, we're talking about the weird stuff that guys can do. Cat, they didn't leave you out. How
Oh,
about the
great.
stuff stuck in the vagina, like the plastic handle of a pair of scissors, or knitting needles, or, quote, a large amount of sand? It doesn't say how much sand.
Wow, who
Okay, any
deliberately
amount.
puts sand in their vagina?
Any
Why?
amount of sand is a large amount of sand if it's in a vagina.
Bag of crystal meth? Here, Kat, You ever been so frisky you put a 10-inch steak knife in your vagina?
Well, there was this one... No, God, no! A steak knife, again, with sharp objects going into your areas that shouldn't... You should never have a knife in you anywhere.
A bathtub stopper.
What sort of contraceptive is that? I'm assuming that's what that was about.
That might have just been practical. Like, maybe there was something in there already that they didn't want to get out.
Like a demon?
Maybe. Well, a demon, a ghost.
Okay, here's another one with a quote. One battery and three coins.
One?
Okay, if we're talking like Kennedy half dollars.
Three coins? What would they?
I guess the battery, if you really wanted to get frisky, D's?
Like, maybe they were trying to, like, charge her vagina up and they kept putting quarters in and it wouldn't go, so they just threw a battery? What? Where
maybe
is
someone
the logic?
Thought it was like... Someone thought it was like that motel bed thing, and they were trying to get it to vibrate.
Well, I guess, you know, I guess it's better than, you know, the, quote, put a bag of money in vagina to hide it from husband, unquote.
Well, I mean, it won't be in the bank book, I can tell you that.
Just, okay, people, I'm not trying to hawk Adam and Eve again here, but there are sex toys made for the butt, made for the vagina, and even made for the penis. All of these things are designed to not cause you an emergency room visit, like all the objects we've talked about.
Also, don't do drugs, because you will put things up your butt.
And, yeah, you should buy, like, professionally made sex toys for that, just for reasons of safety. But for those of you being environmentally friendly, I appreciate your efforts.
Well, how about we move from that to something a little more offensive? Okay, an ultra-liberal retard named Parker Marie Molloy, she's always going about and writing articles about how everything is racist, how everything is anti-trans, everything is anti-woman. Well, she has a problem with A Christmas Story, the movie. I'm going to just read her quote here, okay? And just you guys try not to get angry until we're done. Tonight, TBS begins their annual 24 Hours of A Christmas Story marathon. The film, shot in Cleveland, Ohio, follows the story of a white 9-year-old boy named Ralphie's Christmas wish for a toy BB gun. Though his parents are concerned that he'll, quote, shoot his eye out, he wakes up to find that the gun he wanted, bringing him Christmas joy. On November 22nd, a black 12-year-old Cleveland boy named Tamir Rice was shot and killed by a local police officer for holding a toy gun. Sometimes art imitates life, and sometimes it illustrates the darkest injustices of society. Ralphie is supposed to be a character the viewer can relate to, a child whose overly concerned parents and adult authority figures question his desire for a toy gun. While concerned that he'll, quote, shoot his eye out, plays throughout the film, no one cautions him to the possibility that he'll be shot dead by a racist police officer. This, while fictional, is the reality for white children. We don't have to worry about being gunned down by a police officer for holding a toy. Black children sadly do. This is white privilege. This is institutional racism. This isn't okay. One can't watch A Christmas Story without acknowledging that the world is a far different place for society's Ralphies than it is for kids like Tamir. Oh, fuck you!
Why?
Now the Christmas Story is racist.
How old is this movie, by the way?
1985?
84, 85, yeah.
Why? I just some people just want to suck the joy out of everything.
Don't you have to be a severe libertard to see racism in A Christmas Story because, oh, white people don't have to be concerned about being shot by racist cops?
Therefore, this movie is racist because why? Because it shows a kid like hurting himself with a gun? Isn't that what happens? He like puts his eye out. He doesn't quite put his eye out, but he comes really close.
He breaks his glasses.
Evel Knievel could not make that leap of logic there.
Well, Parker Marie Molloy thinks it's not only a leap of logic, but anyone that disagrees with her are, quote, a bunch of racist conservative libertarian types.
Really? Apparently she's never met other people.
I think A Christmas Story was set in the mid-1960s.
40s.
So it was the 40s, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Okay, so
they
was
set in the 40s.
They don't
even have TV yet. They're listening to, remember, Little Orphan Annie on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so it was set in the 1940s. It is historically accurate. Back then, cops didn't shoot people with toy guns. They just didn't. do research before you say something stupid, or don't, because it's entertaining the shit out of me. So carry on.
I just can't stand these liberals that look for racism in everything. Everything has some sort of a racial tinge to it. A controversy in comic books right now. In the Batgirl comic book, a quote, female villain was just recently exposed to be a man in drag. And Batgirl was, oh, you mean you're a... The whole trans community is all, how dare Batgirl be shocked that that female villain is actually a man? How dare? That's transphobic. No, it's not.
Well, I understand that a lot of trans people, and there's a lot of hate in this world. There really is. A lot of people deal with homophobia, transphobia, racism on a daily basis, and they have every right to be angry when it's there. Because this is shit they deal with every single day. Like, people get beaten to death over this kind of shit. Like, people have died. So it is a big deal when it's there. Don't go looking for it everywhere, because that's all you'll ever see is bad. Like, if you're looking for a fight, you're gonna find one around every corner. But the fact that we can even put cross-dressers and transgender people into a comic book or on TV or something like that, or we can have, you know, people of color doing whatever, you know, like, we've made a lot of progress. We're not there yet, but we're getting there as a society, as a people.
I don't think Batgirl being shocked that what she thought was a woman is actually a man, that's not phobic at all. That's, wow, you're not what I thought you were.
This is not what I thought it was going to be, and that surprises me. Much like when I thought this burrito was going to be beef and it was chicken. If something's not what you think it's going to be, you have the right to be surprised. It doesn't mean you're horrified or appalled. It just means that it wasn't what you thought it was.
And I would like to point out that Batgirl did not finish the sentence, because a lot of letters charge by the letter. And if you're going to keep costs down, then you have to, you know, edit the story. And I think she could have been saying, you're a perfectly acceptable member of the community who is taking steps to correct gender identification issues in a constitutionally protected manner. But that would cost a fucking fortune.
Honestly, it would. And that's, well, considering it's a villain, that's probably not what she would have said, but fair enough.
Even so,
I think you're a really hot person, but no, we had to assume.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't make assumptions is all.
Offshoot of Anonymous has decided to steal 13,000 account logins and passwords from a whole bunch of reputable websites, such as Amazon, Walmart, Xbox Live, PlayStation, etc. You guys might want to go and change your passwords and logins. The reason I'm bringing this up is I don't know if people are going to want to admit some of the places they got their logins stolen from. Okay, there's Hulu Plus, which, you know, I know, Kat, you've been bitching about Hulu, so I know you've got a Hulu account.
I don't have a Hulu Plus account. I would never give money to Hulu. They fucking fail so hard.
How about MotherfuckerXXX.com? Or Casting Couch? Or Bang Brothers? Or Naughty America? Or, I love this one, I didn't even know this was a website, PleaseBangMyWife.com.
That one's the best!
You know what?
Charlie, are you gonna risk losing your PleaseBangMyWife.com account over this?
No. There are some sacrifices that I'm not willing to make in our ongoing battle for freedom. But I would like to point out that at least they said please. It's just if you're not busy.
Or, you know,
would you mind stepping over?
HungarianHoneys.com. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm willing to give up HungarianHoneys.com. I'm not changing my password. I'm not. So I like the fact that somehow all of these things were connected. I wonder how they're going to get into Amazon and Walmart and Xbox Live and stuff. How is that even connected to PleaseBangMyWife.com or HungarianHoneys.com or Naughty America?
Okay, so this may not be accurate, but I was reading an article about this particular info leak, and from what I understand, what I have read, the legit info, like the Walmart and the Amazon info, was all leaked like a long time ago, like last year or something, from like a previous leak. Porn sites are the only new leaks, but they're just re-releasing the information to make it sound like they're leaking something new, because a lot of the the passwords and stuff are all very old, like years old passwords.
But then you got Luddites like me. I'm just not going to change my pleasebangmywife.com password. I'm just too lazy. And I've only got one hand anyway.
Well, then, you know, on your head be it.
I'm very conscious about that kind of thing, by the way, about getting caught with internet porn, because my browser history is erased before I even finish.
You've never heard of private windows, huh?
He takes no chances, man. Well, take no chances.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, honestly, that felt like a trap. Like, I was, oh, that's pretty good. No, wait. No. No. Not doing that.
Protect your passwords if you go to any other, I almost said reputable porn sites. If you go to any of the porn sites, people, change your passwords. It's all for the best.
No one has to know.
You got it. Welcome to Heart Attack's intro for the year-end wrap-out for 2014. I am Hart D. Fisher, and let's hope to jump in Jesus Christ that we don't get any more phone calls in the middle of recording this broadcast.
I could have rolled with it, but it was rather loud, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Things are hopping over here. You know, it's been one hell of a good year for me. I want to thank you, Josh, because you've given me an amazing opportunity here by being a part of What the Fuck, and this led to the hour-long Heart Attack, and I liked that we kept this segment going. So I want to say thanks, Josh.
Not a problem. Working with you is a chore, but it's worth it.
Oh, come on. I'm easy to deal with. I'm such a sweet, happy puppy.
Yeah, just keep lying to the audience like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. When we were trying to record this in take two, I was mentioning that I'm sitting here and I'm doing an inventory of the year and where I'm at in my career and what's been happening with my television channel, American Horrors. And things are really working out in the way I had hoped, in the way that I had planned. Doing a TV channel has been far more work than I really anticipated. It really has stretched my abilities to their limits, and it's really been taking off and growing. And now we signed a deal with ATV Broadcast to be our syndicator, to syndicate our original programming. And we've had our first international sale on that, our first licensing deal with American Horror's content. And we also signed a deal with Apex Media to be booking direct marketing advertising into the American Horrors Network. So now I'm an actual true, no different than like WGN in Chicago. I'm a true 24-hour linear television channel. We're 24 hours. My biggest competitor, FearNet, is gone, and I don't really feel that I have any competition. And things are really blowing up. We've got new series on the air, like Mission Terror. We got great new videos coming on the air, new horror films, new horror shorts. It's going really good for the network. And I'm finally starting to feel like I'm getting traction after. I mean, I've been working on the American Horrors brand since 2008 and even earlier than that.
Yeah, because I remember you plugging this on, like, was it a Fangoria radio or it was something like that. I remember hearing you first talking about the American Horrors TV show way back when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we signed a deal to do the American Horrors TV show in 2008. And so I ran out and I created the American Horrors TV show. And those episodes finally did get to see the air on the American Horrors channel at filmon.com. And because of Film On, I've gotten to know people like Alki David. And dealing with a billionaire is a serious education. And I learned a lot by being a fly on the wall at Film On and paying attention to what was going on over there. And I'm looking back on my directing career and I'm sitting here going, you know, holy shit, I have directed 8 episodes of True Crimes. I've directed 20 episodes of American Horrors Mobile. I've directed 18 episodes of the American Horrors television show. I have edited Glenn Danzig's first short horror film, She Only Likes Men. I edited a music video with Danzig on A Wicked Night. I got to work with Doyle on his music videos and edited music videos for Gorgeous Frankenstein. And I got to work with, you know, Obituary. I directed a short Chance Meeting that did really well for me. I directed The Garbage Man, my first film. And I have the American Horrors Christmas 3-part special, Count Crazy Craig's Haunted Halloween 2-part special. I've directed music videos for like 8 different bands. I've had my work featured on MTV. It's kind of mind blowing to look back on your work. And then things that I worked on 20 years ago are still being discussed, like in Serial Killer Culture and the Dahmer book. I wanted to give a big shout out to John Borowski. John, including me in your film and giving me a decent shake is, you know, really made a difference in my life. I've met a lot of people and had a lot of fans contact me because of Serial Killer Culture. Serial Killer Culture was reviewed positively in Psychology Today. That's a hell of a thing. And a lot of the reviewers of Serial Killer Culture singled me out in a good way for once. I had been beaten up by the mass media throughout my career. So to have this turn around and have people really see that I was getting attacked for nothing over my Dahmer books and the horror comics I did through Boneyard Press, it's been a hell of a turnaround. And to see yourself spoken of positively in Psychology Today is powerful.
Well, and then don't forget that work you did 20, 25 years ago. 2 of your works made scariest comics of all time lists.
Yeah, in Bloody Disgusting, A Taste of Cherry and the Jeffrey Dahmer book. Yeah, co-written with Christian Moore. So the fact that my work is still being talked about 20 years after I wrote it and that fans are still discovering this stuff and still want to read this stuff, it's very mind-opening. And then I've got people like I've had this gentleman, Luca Fisher, who has really been encouraging me and promoting me in the art world. So I've been part of several art shows. I've been creating new art that has been listed in shows, and my spoken word has been featured in the pages of the OC Weekly and the LA Weekly. Thank you, Luca, for including me in his promotions and bringing me all these bands. I've got a lot of amazing people working around me, and I know I'm not going to be able to name them all because, Josh, my life is really turned around. People hear me complain a lot, but you don't hear me sing the praises of these really wonderful people that have entered into my life in the last few years and are making a difference. And you said off the air, I'm calmer now than I used to be. And that's because I'm surrounded by more professionals. I'm surrounded by more people that are more invested in my success than invested in my failure. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you've got somebody like Dr. DeMars that you call up on the phone and ask questions of and get her feedback on. And that's a very powerful, smart woman to have in your life and to know that that's a friend of mine that I could call up and get advice from. Or Danzig, you know, Glenn is an amazing guy to have in your life. It's powerful. I'm on the cusp of what I think is going to be a really big year for me. In the time that I've been doing the show, I've been acting too. And so now 2035 Forbidden Dimensions, you could see it right now. It's on demand, I think, on walmart.com. And then I got to be a really great speaking part in Bound by Blood, The Orphan Killer 2. And they shot at my house, and they shot my car's got a bigger role in the movie than me, but still, that's pretty cool. And I got to meet a lot of amazing people on the set, from the two Matts, Nick, and all the great guys that were on the Bound by Blood set. I mean, it's been a hell of a year, dude. It's been one hell of a great year for all the crap that I've been through and all the garbage. Dude, to be on National Geographic's The 90s special and to be the only comics creator to be spoken to, no matter how little, ended up on the air, when they interviewed me, they talked to me for almost 2 hours. So it's been a hell of a gratifying year, and it's nice to see my work is respected, and I've got a lot more in the pipeline. I've got a lot more going on. Right now at American Horrors, we are putting the financing together, and I'm writing and preparing to get behind the director's chair and do our very first television show, like a Walking Dead show or Hannibal. And it's something I'm very excited about. And now we're just starting to talk to financial people about it. So it's, dude, I think 2015 is going to be the year I break out.
Is that implying you haven't broken out already? The mentions of you online, the mentions of you in the media, et cetera, have been pretty substantial in 2014. Are you kind of implying you didn't break out prior?
No, it's still very counterculture. It's still very underground. And I think this is the year we really break out, where we're in negotiations for some really cool things for the American Horrors television channel. And frankly, this deal with ATV Broadcast and Apex puts American Horrors in a much more powerful position as a player in the horror entertainment scene. And I'm going to be looking for financial partners to produce a slate of films we want to do, to produce this program that we want to do, this television show. We have major ad people behind us that are looking to get involved in American Horrors. And the word from my people, these syndication people and the people at these companies, is we had no idea the demand that was going to be there for your content. We've been surprised and we're excited about it. So my people are coming out guns blazing. Hollywood normally shuts down for Christmas, Josh. It normally slows down. But for me, it's only picked up ramming speed. I've been in meetings, contracts. Nothing has stopped for me with the holidays. I've got a lot of crap happening with this property that I'm living in that's a pain in the ass. And it's slowing me down, man. This shit with my house that I can't talk about on the air has really put me behind the eight ball. We have a lot of new shows to premiere on American Horrors. I have a lot of stuff happening. We got this stuff happening with Metal Blade, too. I made this deal with Metal Blade to get Goat Whore on the air, and we're talking about getting a lot more of their catalog on American Horrors. So I'm just, in the face of all the crap that we've seen and dealt with, I'm just really thrilled to be alive, and I think that this next chapter of my life is going to be the biggest, the best, and the brightest.
Either of you own a PlayStation 4 or how you would have acquired it. Would you be a little bit pissed off if you bought a PlayStation 4 from a Walmart in Denver, Colorado? So this is close to you, Charlie. And what you got was two bags of rocks instead.
Santa was really pissed.
These are just regular rocks. Like, it's not crack that I could sell. And then
no, this is like aquarium gravel.
Ah, yeah, I definitely asked to talk to the manager, at least.
Well, the manager thought that the man who found this, I'm going to say this wrong, B-A-K-S-H-T, Bakshit? Bakshit?
Bakshit, maybe?
Bakshit? Okay. Mr. Bakshit bought this from the Walmart. And what it turns out happened was somebody scammed the Walmart prior to Bakshit getting involved. They bought a PS4, and then they returned it. And the clerk never checked the box. The weight felt right, so there's probably a PS4 in it, and they just put it back up on the shelf. The problem
Ouch.
Is, Bakshit had to go through three different managers and contacting corporate before they would accept the fact that he's not the one who did this. Now, is this brilliant on the scammer's part, or shitty on Walmart's part, that they couldn't bother to check the fucking box to see that it didn't have rocks in it?
It's really, really stupid on the part of Walmart. As somebody who works in retail with PS4s and stuff, we're required to, like, upon taking returns, inspect the items to make sure that they're all there.
Or to make sure all the parts are there, the cords and shit, right?
Right, exactly. Like, you have to make sure that that's all there, because otherwise you don't know how to correctly do the return in the computer system, because it might not go open item or something like that. It might get returned differently. So you have to inspect the items to make sure that it is what it says it is. Now, I work at a slightly classier establishment than Walmart. And by that, I mean I work anywhere but at Walmart. So
I was
going
to say, the crack house down the street is a slightly classier organization than Walmart, Kat.
I see. So you work anywhere. Got it.
So I don't know what their standards are, but I'm assuming that that was a tremendous failure on the part of the person who took the return. There's other ways to scam this other than just returns. So sometimes you can't even guarantee that, because you can also get scammed in this exact same manner, but by FedEx. We've had instances of boxes of things being replaced with, like, shoes and, like, bags of sand and stuff, just by cutting open the bottom of the box and taping it back up. But it's much easier to trace FedEx than it is something else. I think it actually takes a lot of stones to yeah, it takes some huge, huge testicles to return something that is rocks and hope that you don't get caught. Because if that employee had looked in it and said, "Why are there rocks in here?" that person would have either had to have faked not knowing it and still possibly have gotten caught, or they
Run!
Would have just gotten caught. Yeah,
Run!
They would have just bolted.
Scatter! Well, a couple of things. When you originally asked, is this brilliance on the part of the scammers or shittiness on the part of Walmart. I think it's a lot of both, because I agree with Kat. It takes a lot of balls to return a box of aquarium gravel and get the money back for a PS4. That is amazing, because I'm not against stealing from Walmart in any way. So I encourage the hell out of that, any opportunity you get. But another thing, Kat, I was going to ask you, because I don't work in like a big box kind of store. I work in a convenience store, but you work in a big box store. When something like a high-end item like a PS4, when that's returned, isn't it generally sent back to Sony so it can be refurbished?
Do you usually just dump it back to the shelf without checking it?
Opening the box and then sell it to somebody else? Like, I definitely thought that was an issue.
It depends on whether or not it looks like it's been opened or not. Usually, at least my store, they're pretty good about checking the seals and making sure that it has or hasn't been opened, and checking the receipts very carefully and all of that. It depends on the product, because some products are easier to tell with the kinds of seals and stickers that they have on them whether or not they've been opened. And I know something like a PS4 would have quite a, like, the kinds of stickers that once you peel them up, they don't really stick back down. So that thief would have to have the same kinds of stickers to replace it with or something like that.
Or just like when you're trying to scam a casino and you look for a weak dealer, you just look for an employee that doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're talking Walmart, you won't have to look for very long.
Right. Can you imagine what a seasonal employee at Walmart would be like?
Yeah, it feels right. I don't know. Throw it back. And they probably literally throw it. It was kind of shitty on Walmart's part, and you feel bad for Baxt, but I also can kind of see Walmart's side. I can't believe I just said that. In the fact that they do have to kind of assume he's the one who kept the PS4 and replaced it with rocks. You can't just assume that the person before him did it, can you? So in a way, Walmart's not 100% evil here.
Yeah. Okay, so Walmart is 100% evil in this case, because what they're assuming is that if that's his scam, then they're assuming that he is just getting a PS4 box, filling it with aquarium gravel, and his scam is to take it to Walmart and say, I bought this, but it's aquarium gravel instead. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, his scam would be he bought a real PS4, and then he just took it out and then replaced it with aquarium gravel to try and get his money back, and, you know, you double down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the original scam, whoever first did this, their scam was to buy a PS4, take it out, put aquarium gravel in, repackage it up so it's the same weight, then return it saying, I don't want this PS4. That is the scam. I mean, what kind of a scam is, I bought this from here, but there was aquarium gravel inside? Like, if that's the lie, what a shitty lie.
I think it's sort of like when you end up with counterfeit currency. It doesn't matter who you got it from. You're the one holding the buck.
Let's move from that to something a little more fun. Did you guys know that on January 2nd, there's going to be a protest outside Fox News' headquarters? It's going to be an anti-racist protest. They are protesting how racist Fox News is and their, quote, universally white audience. Thousands of people in New York are going to have a sit-in against Fox News' racism. And, of course, Fox News is covering this as, do you see what we're battling here? These people that just will not listen to reason.
This is going to be a magical day. If I could, I would be there. That's something that I could really get behind taking part in. I don't know. I like that Fox News feels like they're the victim of, like, irresponsible media. You know what I mean? That just feels good.
It is about fucking time. My only thought is, and this is a sad thought, but I don't know that Fox News will learn anything from it.
They're going to do exactly what Charlie said. They're going to play the victim the whole time.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know what's going to be accomplished by it, but I think people are going to feel good about it, so I guess that's good.
Yeah, perhaps the greatest irony of all is that nobody will recognize the irony of this.
All right, well, then let's move to zombies.
Okay.
You know, in Ohio, a man put up a zombie nativity scene. He actually worked at a haunted house, and so he had all these zombie props and whatnot, and so he put up zombie wise men and a zombie baby Jesus. The local officials had an issue with this. He has been ordered to remove it. He didn't. So he's being sued by his own town for refusing to remove his zombie nativity scene. Thing that really makes this irritating is they're using zoning laws on him. That there is a zoning law in Sycamore Township which says structures to be located on the front side of the yard cannot occupy more than 35% of the ground area, and also the primary structure has to be 3 feet from the street and 6 feet from the house. Okay, fine. If they're going to hit him with a zoning thing, I'm going, it's a little shitty, but fine. Actual religious demonstrations and structures were not given this same ordinance. So it was, no, we're going to use this ordinance against you. These people are okay because they're religious.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat where zoning ordinances, if it's a law, it's a law.
And technically, he violated the ordinance, yeah.
Right, right. But this is one of those cases where it's very obvious that he's being targeted because of religious things, and that's a really shitty thing to do. Which I think a zombie nativity scene is fucking hilarious, because this guy rose from the fucking dead. And I think he has every right to do whatever he wants, and if people are offended, that's their fucking problem.
I think it's funny, too. I've always thought it was funny ever since Professor Farnsworth said sweet zombie Jesus, because I think about every line that I've ever heard on Futurama, and when I thought about that one, I'm like, yeah, technically. So I think it's hilarious. But I think, fuck this guy for trying to get media attention, because if, okay, you set it up, you have zombie baby Jesus, it doesn't offend you, and it didn't offend any of us, but if someone is going to get offended, then you have to sort of pick your battles, is what I'm saying.
And
because
he's battling. He said he's going to fight the town on this.
I know. Even if they're using a zoning law as a smokescreen, we all know the real reason, but he's willfully disobeying a law, so he can't fucking bitch about it when he gets arrested for it.
But what he's trying to point out is they're selectively enforcing the law. They're that making me obey the law, but not my neighbors.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's fucked up. I'm not saying he's in the wrong. I'm just saying, what the fuck are you going to do about it? Like, what does you putting up a zombie nativity scene really mean?
He's fighting for freedom, you motherfucker! You commie! You fucking commie!
He's not fighting for freedom. This is not... When I hear the term fighting for freedom, this is not what I fucking imagine. I mean, pick your battles. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then let's move from that to a different type of zombies and battles. Now, you guys have both seen Dawn of the Dead, right? You know about the Monroeville Mall?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You've never seen Dawn of the Dead, Kat?
No.
What?
I don't like zombies.
Okay, Dawn of the Dead was shot in a real mall in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, okay? That mall is still standing and celebrates its Dawn of the Dead connection. In fact, most of the stores are still there from the 1978 movie. Right now, police don't know how, but the day after Christmas, a giant fight and riot broke out at the Monroeville Mall. So I'm like, seriously? Zombies? We had zombies accosting the mall in the movie, and now we've got a whole bunch of people fighting and rioting in the Monroeville Mall? It's not really news. I just find it ironic that it's the Monroeville Mall.
I think we all know for a fact that it was built to withstand a riot. So, I mean, right off the bat, I'm a little relieved more than anything else. It's like, oh my god, a riot in a mall. Oh, it's the Monroeville Mall? Ah, they're fine.
But isn't there an added level of irony, Kat, to the fact that it's the same mall from Dawn of the Dead?
I don't know about that. I mean, if there was people dressed up like zombies or something, you might get to call it irony.
Well, I mean, that's why George Romero wanted it set in a mall. It was like a statement
on consumerism. It was a commentary on consumerist culture.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Then how about we move to Argentina?
Yes.
Now, let me say all of this before any of you interject, okay? This is a real story.
I'm so excited about this. This is great.
This is a real story. This is not an Onion article, okay? Argentina's president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, I'm probably mispronouncing that, she is adopting a boy named Yar Twill so he will not become a werewolf. I'm not joking. It's a long-standing tradition that the seventh son of a seventh son in Argentina has like the lycanthropy gene or whatever they're going to call it. On the first Friday after the boy's 13th birthday, he will turn into a demon at midnight during every full moon, and he will need to hunt and kill before returning to human form. He will feed on excrement, unbaptized babies, and the flesh of the recently dead. So to stop this, the president of Argentina is adopting the boy, so then he will no longer be the seventh son of a seventh son, and he cannot turn into a werewolf. Did I make any of that up, Kat?
No. I think it's really interesting because the seventh son of a seventh son is like folklore in a lot of different places.
It's an awesome Iron Maiden album, too.
Yes. And in like Paraguay, Uruguay, and evidently
Argentina.
I was going to say Venezuela, but you're right, Argentina. It's associated with becoming a werewolf, like very specifically.
Technically, it's an El Lobson in their language, but it equates to a werewolf here.
This is really awesome story. I was actually just telling my roommate about this story because I just think it's so funny. Just the headline by itself of the president of Argentina adopting somebody so that they don't become a werewolf.
The actual headline is president of Argentina adopts boy to stop him from becoming a werewolf.
It sounds so great. I like that this is a tradition too. This is some sort of like just awesome folklore that's just stuck around.
Well, my first thought was, when you think about the shit that our media jumps on the president about, like, how often did Fox News mention the president saluted a guy while holding a coffee cup? What the fuck would they do with the president has adopted a boy because he's a monster? Oh my God, I would like to live in Argentina before I die now, just for a bit. I mean, with the shit the president can get away with there, that's got to be an awesome country.
I'm of two minds. I agree with Kat that this is both awesome, but I also think in 2014, 2015, we're still believing in werewolves. I mean, does Argentina, they say it's just a tradition. You wouldn't go out of your way like this unless you really believed this boy might be a werewolf, huh? Really, we're not past this yet?
I'd just like to point out that we live in a country where the president pardons a turkey every year.
Touche. Your logic is sound, and I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah, and like, I'd also like to point out, like, okay, a werewolf, whatever. I'll be over here with the transubstantiation and the body of Christ and virgin birth and walking on water and hell and heaven. It's up there. You can't see it, but it's there. Anyway, have fun with your werewolves.
Like, seriously, I think this is a great tradition, and if it gives somebody an opportunity of any kind, I think it's great.
Well, we had two more stories we were going to cover this week, but I'm going to save them for next week. Oh boy. All right, so to either round out the year or bring in the new year, where would people find the cat?
You can find me at all of my usual places, Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And then you can also find me on my other shows, Thespian Talk at RTComer.com or Zach RTComer21XX. It's either one of those. He's going to hate me for not remembering what the website is. On Nerd to the Third Power over at ChannelAwesome.com.
What about you, Charlie? Where can people find you? Or are you just mad that you were not adopted to stop you from becoming a werewolf?
Well, you don't have any proof that I wasn't. So, yeah, just take that to bed with you tonight, man. You can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, and geekjuicemedia.com, where, if I may plug this, my debut album has just been posted for free download.
Don't stick it up your rectum.
No, it's just a download. Like, I'm not even going to provide hard copies because I don't want you people sticking them up your asses.
Stick it in your ear hole instead.
I do want to say, I have listened to Zen as Fuck. And it is a hilarious album. You people should go download Zen as Fuck and give Charlie the due that he is due. I screwed that up, but you know what I meant.
Thank you very much, man. I'm glad you guys liked it.
And you go to 1201beyond.com. Go to 1201beyond.com, buy a t-shirt, or you can click on some ads. Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code WHAT, and also contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Just remember, guys, lighten the fuck up and really be careful about what you stick in an orifice. Otherwise, you're going to be on our list next year. We'll be right back.
Chinese menu in his hand. Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain, he was looking for a place called Liho Foot. Gonna get a big dish of that beef chow mein.
Oh, well, what's the long down?
Oh,
oh, well, what's the long down?
Oh, if you hear him howling around your kitchen door, you better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again.
Oh, werewolves of London.
Oh,
oh, werewolves of London.
Oh. Ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. Better stay away from him, he'll rip your lungs out, Jim. Ha! I'd like to meet his tailor.
Oh, werewolves of London.
Oh,
oh, werewolves of London.
Oh,
so I'm chained walking with the queen. Do the werewolves of London. So I'm chained walking with the queen. Do the werewolves of London.
I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, and his hair was perfect.
Werewolves of London.
Oh,
werewolves of London.
Oh,
werewolves of London.
Oh,
werewolves of London.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.